after you've picked the type of storage you're looking to use, and then you've picked the redundancy and location, that's just something you sort of do in your head as you get started. Well, it's probably a good idea to document it as well. We actually now need to go create everything. So we're going to walk through the process of creating and then managing Azure Storage. And we'll use a few tools here. We'll primarily stay with some of the graphic tools to bring data in later and things like that. But we'll take a look at a couple of the tools that you can use to create and manage the storage. We'll stick pretty much just with the portal. Let's start there. So you have a few options. The first thing is you can use the portal, and that's what we're going to do in this example here in just a moment. And when you're asked to do your lab exercise, I just recommend you using the portal. But after you do that and you've figured out kind of how it works, it's better to learn the CLI, the command line interface, or even better, PowerShell to work with your storage accounts. There is also a fully programmable REST representational state transfer API that you can use from almost any programming language, and then the Azure Storage Resource Provider REST API as well. It's just some syntactic sugar we've put over the top of the REST API so that you can work with it in things like C# and other places. But let's just start with the portal. Let me jump over to our portal, speaking of which. There we go. Here's my portal. And now what I'd like to do is, I mentioned the first thing we need to do is create a storage account. So I'm going to click New, and I could go find it here under Storage. And I could wait for it to load, and I can click storage account, or once again, I could have just clicked or typed the word storage account. The first thing I'm asked to do is type a name for it, and the name needs to be unique across all of Azure because it's a fully managed system, so everybody's got the same core namespace, which is core.windows.net, and then you'll sort of go from there for that. So I'm just going to pick BWoody test 70. I don't know if I've used that or not. It'll find out. Does a little green checkbox, says that's okay. I have a classic model and a resource manager model. We're going to stay in the resource manager model for everything. This is the new bugaboo. We've got general purpose or blob storage, and you might be tempted to think, well, I want to store a blob, so I want to use blob storage. That's actually a specific kind of blob storage, so stay with general purpose, please. For performance, normally you just want standard. Premium costs more, and there's a little eye above all of this, so you can just rest above it and see what that means. And here's our replication. Remember, we decided what we were going to do. I'll just do locally redundant storage. And then I can either encrypt it or not per storage service. And then I pick the subscription I'm working with, because that's what's going to get costed, right? So my resource group, you'll recall that I asked you to make a resource group earlier. And if you haven't, you have two choices here. You can either use one you already have. So I've got to pick it now. So I'll pick my resource group. You're going to see BWoody is in here somewhere. There it is, BWoody training. So I'll use that one. And then you pick a location for it. Now, once again, good idea to go find out. There's a link in your references there. Good idea to go find out if HD Insight is in the region that you're putting the storage, because that could be a problem. And then you have this option here to pin it to the dashboard or not. I always do that so I can look at it. I'm going to close this out. I'm not going to do it. And then, because we're a little passive aggressive, and it says your edits will be discarded, it's going to say, did you have a problem? Was it me? It's not you, Microsoft. I just canceled. It's okay. So once you've created your storage, now we can work with it here. And you can see that because I told it to pin it to the dashboard, I've got my storage here. Couple things I wanted you to see on this. It tells me basically what I've got available. Here's my blobs. Here's my files, tables, and queues that we talked about. Here's some monitoring and some things that I can see. But the main one I want to think about here is my address keys. And there's two things you're going to need. You're going to need it throughout this course. One is your storage account name. I called this particular storage account BWoody SA. You can see that right here at the top. And then the access key is a fairly long number. I'm not going to click on that. I don't want you to see it. That lets you put things in and out of the storage. And as you create blobs, you'll create a container. And let's just go to that just so you can see it. So here you can see I've got these various containers. So if I wanted to make another container, I could simply click on New Container, and I could set it test container. This does not have to be unique because it's already unique inside my, or maybe it does. Hold on. Only lowercase names. Sorry. Test container. That freaked me out for a second. I thought we had changed something. Test container. It needs to be lowercase. And then this is important, the private or the public or the blob. And what this means is private means you need the key to get in to do anything. And so you're not going to give that key to users. That's going to be embedded within a program. So we're not going to give that away. But you could say each blob will have its own key that would allow people access into it. For right now, this would be the whole container and every blob underneath it. And then you could say at the container level, I'm gonna wrap it around. I'm just gonna keep it private for now, and I could click create. Once again, I'm not gonna do that, and it's gonna be all passive aggressive again. But this time it's gotten over it and realizes it's not Microsoft, it's me at this point. And now as I begin to do things in here, let's go into this public container I have. It's marked, as you might imagine, public, and I've got some files in here. And you might think, well, boy, I'd love to be able to just kind of put things in here. Well, you can. There is an upload button here, so I can upload files. I'm going to show you a little better way to do it than to work with a web thing there. You can click on that, and then you get a link to that particular thing. Because that's public, I could go get it this way, and so on. And it tells you if it's available and what kind of blob it is, and I could download that now, and I'll get a little message here that says, do you want to save that? And I'll say, yeah, I want to save it, and I'll even open it, and it opens it in Excel and kind of shows me. And that's one way I could explore my data. So this is the way you can do that, and I can even delete a blob from here, so I can certainly work with it from the portal. Again, probably the most important thing to understand is the access keys, the name, and so on. You'll have two access keys, by the way, 1 and 2. That's meant so that you can rotate them in and out. You only ever use the primary key to get to it. You'll see where that becomes important here in just a little bit. Okay, I think that's all we need to talk about from the management and monitoring, at least from the standpoint of using the portal. Again, you should go learn how to use the CLI and PowerShell, and then for data ingress and egress, which we'll talk about next, we'll use some other tools.